the third chapter. You remember, as we started in the first two chapters and talked about, we went into the third chapter last week a little bit, and we covered the life, a little bit of the life of Hannah. She's found in the first chapter, mainly some into the second chapter. I believe we learned some wonderful things from Hannah's life. It certainly was a help to me as I went through and studied and learned about her and about her prayers and her dedication to God. And those things are not pinned down there just for our knowledge. It's pinned down there for us to take those principles and apply them to our life. And so then when chapter 2, we also then got into talking about Samuel, and we'll be doing mainly that from now on. But Samuel, again, is a great inspiration to us. Samuel was learned some many lessons from his life. We discussed last week, if you remember, I think we covered this somewhat, talked about that when God called him, he was a young man. And again, I just want to mention, I think we mentioned this, but I want to mention, God puts his hands on young people. And we know that we ought never forget that. Immediately after he was called, he didn't immediately go into some big ministry. He had time of preparation, time of building, time of God working on him, helping him, building him. And the Bible even says he grew in the Lord. So we got to remember there's young people around here that God is putting his hands on to raise them up. We don't always know what it is. There it was pretty specific there in being right in the temple and all of this, but the tabernacle. But we know that God places his hand here on young people and from a very early age begins to move upon their life. So we saw that God did that. I told you, I think I told you, Josephus, which is a historian, says he believes that Samuel was called around when he was 12 years old. There's a lot of sense in that. That's not biblical. God doesn't say that's when he was called, but I'm just giving you that as a possibility. May have been around the 12 years old when God, when Samuel heard his voice and answered the call. So we know that God calls young people. We also know, and I think we mentioned a little bit about this, but we also know that he called him in the nighttime. And we discussed that a little while and talked about the natural darkness. It was of a night. It was a time when the businesses of the day was not busy, but it was in the night when God spoke to his heart, woke him up, and spoke to him and called him. We also know it was a very dark time as far as spiritually. It was a horrible time in the time of in the history of Israel, and it was very, very, very dark time. And the Bible even tells us the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and that does not mean. And certainly the word of God is precious, but it means it was rare. God was not speaking to his people Israel in those days. And so there was no open vision. There was no open speaking to them. And so God writes down during a very dark time in the history of Israel. I am praying for that for America, because I do believe in my heart that we're living in a very dark time in the history of America, and I believe that. And we need the hand of God on America, and we need God doing some things. We'll talk about that in a little while here, but I'm praying that God will do a mighty work here in America. I see and I feel like, and again, I know God allows all things, but even this thing in the Congress and up there, the switching of the power is much more there than we understand. It's going to turn a lot of things around if something doesn't happen. They say it's going to make a big difference on judicial appointments. And a lot of things that Mr. Bush was going to bring in is going to be a lot more difficult now to do so, because the balance of power has shifted with one man being a turncoat, going to the other side. See, I don't know. You know, all I know, God has allowed all these things, but I know it's a dark hour for America, And we need God's help so much. But it was a very, very dark area, time in the life of Israel. The cause of that darkness basically was because the priesthood was corrupt. But not just the priesthood. The people were corrupt. They were all turning away from God. They was following idolatry. Were they religious? Sure. They were religious, but they were turning away from the true and the living God. I think that's what's happening in America. And folks, listen, I'm not saying that from a discouraged standpoint. I know there's a lot of good in America, and I know there's a lot of people in America that love God, and I know there's still a lot of preaching of the Word of God in America. I know that, but there's an awful lot that there isn't in America also, and it's a concern to me. And so it was the cause of that was Eli and his sons were corrupt. I know they were corrupt morally. The Bible even tells us they did not even know the Lord. Eli, I do believe, knew the Lord, but he was not doing the work of the priesthood. He was not doing what he was supposed to do. He was allowing things to go on that never should have been allowed to go on. But the people also was corrupt because they accepted this and they allowed this, and they too was corrupt. And so it was a very dark time in the life of Israel. And so what happens is God began to just kind of pull his word away, pull the light of the word of God away from them. So there was no open vision. There was it was precious. The word of God was precious or rare in that time. And so God pulled back and let them have their way. And you know, God will do that. You know, if we request something and demand something and continue in that way, God will pull back and let us have that. And again, I'm afraid for America because we're getting a lot of things in America that we should not have. And you remember the prophet Amos. I think we discussed that as a famine of not a fan of bread or thirst, but a famine of the Word of God. And that can be on two sides. That can be there's a famine in the preaching of it, and there's a famine in the hearing of it. It can be both sides. Just don't listen, don't hear, or it could be not preached. But there's a great famine in our land of the true Word of God. So we find then it was during also a time when Eli, the priest, the leadership, and I think it tells us, I'm pretty sure it tells us in chapter 4, that he was 98 years old. I think we discussed that. We never got over there, but I'm pretty sure chapter 4, maybe verse 15, it seems like it might be. But anyway, 98 years old. He was an old man. He was coming to the end of his priesthood. And so it was a serious time. But I want to read you something Matthew Henry said. He's a commentator. Matthew Henry's a commentator. And here's what he said. When old Eli was rejected, young Samuel was established. For God will never leave himself without a witness, nor his church without a guide. And I like that because you know what? Even though Eli was coming to the place where his usefulness was almost gone, God was already moving, putting into place a young man by the name of Samuel that God was going to raise up to be a judge and a protector of the nation of Israel. So the Lord does that. And I'm always grateful when I see God doing this because I'm reminded that God always has such a great love for us and he's always on time. You might pray. I talked to my daughter yesterday a little bit, and she's getting anxious. And the 19th, they load up their truck, and they will be coming after that right now with no place to live and their house not sold in North Carolina. But I spoke to her. I said, but God is always on time, Lori. You must remember he's always on time. He knows exactly what he's doing. God has laid upon the heart of her husband to move to Indiana. He feels the deep assurance of it. He knows that God has led in that direction. If God leads, he supplies. It may not always be like we want it or in the timing that we want, but God will supply. And we must always remember he's always on time. But as I look at this, I say to myself, I look around America, and I don't know how you feel about it. I mean, I don't know how you think in your mind, but I look around America, And I'm praying for God to send us, and the hope is not in some man, but to send us a man that will shake America. Now listen to me. You know we've got some good preachers in America. God is blessed, and we've got good preachers, but they're in their own locality. They're basically reaching a group in their own locality. We have conferences, but that does not shake America. Those conferences do not. They help. What they do help do is they stir people, and they go back to their churches, and they're stirred up, and certainly it helps. But we don't have a voice. We don't have a voice that's going across America and is allowed to go across America and shake her at her roots. It's not there. We used to have that. We used to have the D.L. Moody's. We used to have the Billy Sundays. We used to have those that went across and literally shook this country, where taverns would shut down. Houses of ill repute would close up. What I'm saying to you, in America, you don't see that today. Again, I'm not saying that from a discouraged point. I know much is going on, and I'm so thankful for what is going on. But you don't see a national voice that's grabbing a hold of the attention of America and shaking her. You don't see that. And I think we need it, personally. I think we need that. Now, whether America will even allow that or not, I don't know. There were some men, I believe, that had the opportunity to do so but didn't do so. That's my opinion. But I believe that we need it. We need a Samuel that'll literally just take the word of God and be allowed to go across this country and shake it at its roots. And I think we need that. And like I say, I'm very grateful for what's going on. I know. I realize that there's a lot of good men out there preaching. There's a lot of good Christians out there sitting in churches this morning that love God. I know that. If it wasn't, we'd be in a lot worse shape than we are now, if it wasn't true. But I still see America going downhill all the time. It's not going uphill. It's going down. And so that's a concern to me, and I just love to see God do that. I don't know what his plans are, but he hasn't shared that with me, but I know he's always on time. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what he has to do to bring us back, and it may be to take us much farther down than we are now before we'll ever look up. Maybe. I don't know. See, but I know this. We're in need. So Samuel was a young man here called and can't always remember everything we discussed, but just real touch it real lightly. He was called. The ingredients of his call, I think we discussed that, is always usually the same, but the manner in which the calling comes is usually different with every person. Brother Simpson sent back there. I've never talked to Brother Simpson about his actual calling when God put it on his heart. I've never talked to him, but I'm sure it would be different than the way God called me, but the ingredients of it would be the same. It would be, it would come down to the fact that God said, go preach the word of God. And that's what he did to Samuel. He reached down and called him and spoke to him there in the temple or the tabernacle. Men like Paul was called on the road to Damascus with a bright light. Elisha got the mantle of Elijah thrown on him. Moses stood at a burning bush. What I'm saying is the call, the ingredients of it is, it's basic, is basically, I want you to go serve me. The way God calls an individual many times is different. But believe me, if I could get preachers to testify, the call must be real. And it must be real. Because if it isn't, in real trouble down the road, you step out on something that's you're not sure of, and you'll suffer consequences of that for the rest of your life. A person needs to know God has specifically laid his hand on me and said, I want you to go and preach. That's necessary. Samuel had no doubt of that. When God got done with Samuel, he had no doubt of that whatsoever. God moved upon Samuel in such a way that caused him to know for sure. In fact, it's kind of interesting to me the way that God called him, because he called him in respect in the position that he was already in. He was there as a servant, and he was serving Eli, and God used that in his call. In the middle of the night, you see, I believe there's been many times in the middle of the night that Eli would call out, Samuel! 98 years old, and he needed something. And I think during the day, he was used to hearing Eli saying, Samuel, run an errand for me, do something for me. And I'm sure that, you know, God used this wonderful thing. Here he was already a servant, and God used even the calling of his name, as he called out his name, as a way. And of course, as we'll talk about this in a few moments, but we know that he even misunderstood for a moment there, because he thought that it was Eli calling him. And I think that's why he thought it was Eli calling him. He was used to that. And so we find, of course, that he finally, when Eli said, listen, that's God calling you, Samuel. Speak, thy servant heareth. That's what you should say to him the next time he calls. And the next time he called, he said it twice. Samuel, Samuel. And let me say this to you. I know that, you know, God doesn't have to say anything more than once. I understand that. But there's times in the Bible he does. And I think when he does it, we ought to take note. It's a special emphasis. I think God was saying, Samuel, Samuel, this is important. I want you to listen to me. You see, back when Moses was called, he spoke his name twice. On the road to Damascus, God spoke the name of Saul twice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He spoke it twice. And when you see the call twice like that, I think you better look at it and say, this is important business. Moses had an important job. Paul had an important job. Samuel had an important job. And when God speaks like this, I think it's time that we need to realize we better listen up. Now, I think anytime God speaks, we better listen up. But when he speaks like that, there's much emphasis on it. And in fact, I'm always grateful to know that when God calls, he calls people to the place where they ought to be in the ministry they ought to be in. He places them in places where he wants them, where he knows they already are ready for. When I was thinking about Tom this morning, God called me and gave me a little church out here. He knew that's what I needed. He knew I was going to face some difficult things out there, and I needed that to build me as an individual. He called me and placed me in a place that I was prepared for. I think that's what, if this works out at Tennessee Valley, I think this is what God is doing there. He's calling Tom to a place he's prepared for, he's ready for. You see, you put Tom in the midst of a church of 300 people right now, and it wouldn't be good, because he wouldn't be ready for it, wouldn't be prepared for it. That doesn't mean Tom's not good. It's a matter that he just needs to grow, and God's putting him in a place where he can grow and learn. You see, God does that. So God knew that Samuel here was the person for this job, and he was going to prepare him for it. And yet it was a monstrous thing. What God was going to ask him to do was a tremendous thing. He was going to be a prophet of Israel, a judge of Israel. And so it was something that God then was going to prepare him. Here's a little boy, and take him in here and prepare him and teach him and help him to grow and get ready for this wonderful job that God had for him. You see, that's the way God does it. God prepares us and gets us ready, you see, for those positions. I think back when God, in the book of Genesis, when God saw that Adam needed a companion, when he sent Eve, it wasn't a misfit. It was perfect. Exactly what Adam needed. And I believe God does that today. I believe he calls these young men out and other pastors out and places them in places just exactly for the need of that place. For that's the way God does it, you see. And then, of course, he was very capable because he had been learning and growing. He had demonstrated some tremendous abilities there as he served in the tabernacle and learned and grew. And God was building his ability all along to get him ready for this greater job. Wilbur Chapman said something that I would like to quote here and read to you what he said about Samuel. Said the qualities in Samuel that fitted him for his work were purity of life, deep love for God and his sanctuary, personal consecration to any service in which it might please God to employ him, and the humility that disdains not even menial work if God would have thus have it. You see, he was ready. He was living a pure life. He was being prepared. He had learned a deep love for God and the sanctuary where he was serving. See, all of those things, and he was willing to do even the menial work. You remember we read, and we may read it again, we read where he opened up the doors to the house of the Lord. What seemingly is such a menial work, but that was Samuel's work. Learning to open up the doors to the house of God. It's important. I want to tell you something that I wrote it down here. McLaren made a statement about Samuel. Simple statement, but he said, he was a white flower blossomed on a dunghill. Boy, when you think about that, that's true. Samuel was built and blossomed as a young man of God that was going to be used of God in a very unlikely place and an unlikely person to train him, which Eli certainly had not done much good with his own sons. And there again, I go back and say, I believe it was because of his mama, what she had put into him when she sent him away up to the tabernacle and got him prepared. And then, of course, he dedicated himself to the Lord. Not after her dedication to him, to the Lord, but also he dedicated himself. But here he was, a white flower blossomed on a dunghill. Another thing I think that in this, and over in Luke, the 16th chapter of Luke, it's a wonderful portion of Scripture, talks about the faithful servants and those whom God uses. First of all, we find that, you see here, you find out that Samuel was a person who was willing to do the very small things before God gave him bigger things. And those small things, as I said to you earlier, was concerning the opening up of the doors of the house of the Lord. Whatever Eli wanted him to do, Samuel did. That's what God does as he trains people. He trains them with the little, what we would call little things, and then begins to add to them bigger things and bigger responsibilities as they have learned to do the little things without complaining. Willingness, gladness to do even the smallest task is how you learn to be a servant of God. Go back in my life and I remember how God trained me at Rock Run Baptist Church under Brother Elmer Evans. Brother Elmer Evans, there was nothing that he asked me to do that I did not do. I'm just telling you, whatever it was he asked, I did. Sometimes it was to clean the church. Sometimes it was to mow the grass. Sometimes just take a load of teenagers out to a nursing home. Sometimes it was to teach a class. Sometimes it'd be a Sunday school superintendent. Kept building and adding. Once in a while, he said, "You're going to preach," and I was scared to death. What I'm saying to you is, though you learn to do the very little things, I still remember so well the time that we was given the instruction to get the communion table ready. And Donna writes about that in one of her columns that she writes up here for the leader. It's a linen type thing that you put on the table. And she had forgotten to get it ready and prepared and iron it all out. And if you ladies know, I don't know much about that, but she said they're very hard to iron and get to looking nice. And we got over to church early, thank God, and she realized she had forgotten. She run back home and ironed that and got it all ready and prepared and came back embarrassed that we would forget such a thing as that. Embarrassed. But she went home and she got it ready and prepared. We didn't take that lightly. We didn't think that was, oh, well, we'll do it some other time. It'll be all right. No, no, she went home and ironed it, made it look good, and got back in time. I think the services had already started. Sunday school had already started, but she was able then to set it up and get it ready for the morning service. The little task that God asked. And Samuel proved himself. I'll open up the doors of the house of the Lord. I asked last week, and I don't think Brother Brewer mind me telling you, but last week I asked Andrew. I said, Andrew, I want you to do me a big job. I said, the choir comes out that door and ladies come out that door. It's hard for them to close that door. Mrs. Rita Hall comes out last, and it's hard. I notice she's having trouble closing the door because there's a vacuum in that room, and it's hard to close it. So I said, I want you to stand right over there. When your daddy, he comes out first, Brother Brewer comes out. As soon as that door opens, you reach over, open the door for the ladies. They'll come out, and as soon as they're out, you close the door and go back and sit down. Big task. It's opening a door. It's a small thing as far as the world's concerned, but it's a big thing. I even told him, well, he told you not. I said, Andrew, I'm telling things on him. I said, Andrew, now next week, because he didn't, no reason for him to do, because he didn't know it. I said, would you put your coat on, please, for me? And he had a tie and white shirt on. I said, would you go ahead and put your coat on for me, and so that you'll stand over there and get ready to open that door. It's important. Very important. You know why? Because we learn, all of us learn, to do the little task. If we won't do the little task, forget the big ones. Forget it. Amen. So that's the way God works, you see. Not only that, as I told you earlier also, he was called actually four times. Three of them, he thought it was Eli. The fourth time, he realized it was God because Eli had instructed him. And so he was called four different times. Now, let me show you the difference. Jonah, as you know the story of Jonah was called twice, but flatly refused the first one. Samuel here was called four times, but was not refusing the first three. He didn't know what it was. Jonah well knew. So there was a big difference between Samuel and Jonah. Jonah was sure. He knew that God had called, and he took off. Amen. Samuel did not take off. He ran to the one whom he thought was calling him. So there was just a mistake in the call. And let me say to you, sometimes that is true. Sometimes men want to put the call of God as the call of man. That can work both sides. That can be where a man can try to call a young man to the preaching of the Word of God. That's bad business. Please don't do that. You see. But on the other hand, it can be misunderstood sometimes. Not sure. Is it God calling? Is it really God calling me? Or is it just man speaking to me and talking to me? You have to come to the place where you know the difference. But let me show you something special in verse number 4. Notice that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I, and he ran unto Eli. I want you to notice that Samuel was so excited, even in serving Eli, he ran to him. And he said, here am I. What is it you want? I'm ready. You see, and so even though he misunderstood, he didn't understand this was the call of God. And the reason he didn't understand, if you read verse number 7, It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." He didn't know the Lord yet. He didn't realize who it was that was calling him. He was soon to find out. He was a young man, and he did not know the Lord yet. And God was calling him. And so he thought it was Eli who was calling him, you see. Also, if you'll notice, we might mention in that sometimes, you know, that's what man wants to do to God's word. They want to call it the word of man. They want to say the Bible is just man's word written, that men have written this Bible. No. This is the Bible. This is God's word. I mean, I don't have to convince you of that, but I'm just stating that. This is God's word. This is not man's word. But that's what man is trying to say today. They're trying to say, oh, this is just something that men pin down. You see, they're mistaken because they don't understand the call of God. They don't understand it's God's precious word, perfect word of God. See. And so there's a lot of things. I personally believe this too. I believe God today is speaking in calamities across this world. I believe he's speaking to us in the earthquakes and the storms and the problems and the troubles that's coming to America, and we are and America is not seeing it. They're saying, oh, it's just Mother Nature. I beg your pardon, there is no one called Mother Nature. It is God that controls these things. And I believe what we better do is better be listening, because I believe God is speaking to us. So we can be mistaken in who's speaking, but we better get it straight when God speaks. And then, of course, as I already mentioned to you, in verse 4 and verse 5 then, he talks about he ran to Eli, eager to serve him, eager to do so, ready to do so. He was not holding back. He was ready to serve him. He did not hesitate to get out of bed, woke up in the middle of the night, get out of bed, and go see what Eli wanted. Boy, I think that speaks volumes in God's heart, because he had a young man there prepared that no matter what was asked, he ran to help. He didn't hesitate. He didn't gripe about having to get up and stomp in there. What is it you want, Eli? No. He came in there and said, you know, here am I. In other words, whatever you want, I'll do, you see. And again, I like what, maybe I better wait, better go to something else. Verse 15, if you'll notice. Verse 15 says, Samuel lay until the morning and opened the door of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. I was thinking about that, and I don't know all that God did that day. I know he called him, but in verse 15, you notice it talks of it as a vision. And I don't know whether God manifested himself to Samuel, because it's not just a voice that comes. In verse 15, he says a vision. Maybe God in some way manifests himself to him. I don't really know that. But I know he calls it a vision. It was something that had a lasting effect upon his life. And I can't help but some ways to feel like maybe it was more than just a voice. I think probably there was some manifestation of some way, somewhat, that he saw something, that he understood, this is God speaking to me. So we find, again, regardless, I don't think most of us see a vision today, and we have to be careful about dreams and visions and all those things. But let me say this. I think when a person is called, or when a person answers to do something that God has told him to do, we need to have the assurance like Samuel had it. And Samuel did have the assurance. He knew this was of God. And we need to have that assurance. I've told you many times, I look back over the 31 years, going on 32 years of preaching, and I don't know about other folk, but I think I do, but I know this, I am so grateful that I know I was called. Because I want to tell you, there'd be times you would not make it if you weren't. And probably shouldn't. But But I'm just saying to you, you better know you are called. And Samuel had no doubt in his heart and his mind that he was called. He knew it. And he moved toward that calling. Continued there in the tabernacle, serving Eli, preparing. And we'll get down to him, but the last verses, we won't today, but the last verses in chapter 3, you see how God moved upon Samuel's life and how he progressed. And he began to become what God wanted him to be. He began to grow, and he began to take over the responsibilities of Eli the priest. So again, I'm just saying, it's a marvelous message, I think, as you look at Samuel's life, and you look at him, and you say, you know what? God called this young man. Well, no, not as a prophet of Israel, but there's Samuels all around us. There's Samuels in America today that God is reaching down, putting his hand on them, saying, I want to prepare you, I want to get you ready. You know what I think our responsibility is? To do everything we can to prepare him the best we can to get ready to hear when God speaks. The best we can do is to train them spiritually, the very best we can, get them prepared that when one night they go in and lay on their bed, that God will call and say, I want you to serve me. You see, and our responsibility is to grow them, train them, grow them up. Maybe they won't be called. It's okay. I'm talking about specific calling. I'm talking about full-time calling. Maybe they won't be. That's okay. But we ought to prepare them to be ready for it. Don't you agree?